Okay. Good evening and welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademark podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight I have romance author Tina Gabrielle, and I think that's the way you say your name. You're going to have to tell me for sure because, again, I forgot to ask somebody. Best-selling author Tina Gabrielle is an attorney and former mechanical engineer whose love of reading for pleasure helped her get through years of academia. She often picked up a romance and let her fantasies of knights in shining armor and lords and ladies carry her far, far away. After multi-publishing for the prestigious Rutgers Law Journal, she fulfilled her dream of writing fiction. Publishers Weekly calls her Regency Barrister series well-matched lovers with comradely repartee. Tina's books have been Barnes & Noble's top picks, and her first book, Lady of Scandal, was nominated as Best First Historical by the Romantic Times Book Reviews. You can visit her website and learn more about her free monthly contest giving away books and prizes at www.tinagabrielle.com. And that link is right here on this page. And now we're going to bring her on the show and welcome to the show, Tina. Welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Is it Gabrielle or did I say it correctly? I meant to
ask. You said it correctly. It's Gabrielle.
Okay,
yes. Tina Gabrielle. No, you got it right.
I get to talking with my authors before the show, and I sometimes forget how to ask that question. So, yeah, welcome
to the
show.
Well, it was perfect. You did it perfect.
And my son just snuck out quietly. Yay, that was good and seamless. Awesome. Yeah, we were going to have fun with him in here because once we started talking about anything else, he would have joined
That's
in.
Okay.
So.
I have kids, and I like kids. I know what it's like.
Well, welcome to the show. All the way from you're up north. We were just talking about how you were in New Jersey, and I have some family up there too. So it's really beautiful in the part of the state you're in. So I love it there.
Oh, thank you.
So your journey to romance was as a reader, and I
yes,
can see
absolutely.
Why. I can see why with your background. Why you were
oh, I just I was
kid.
Always a big closet reader, yes. A big romance reader. Love them. Love those books.
Keep it hidden behind your law books at school. So
exactly.
People...
I think that was like my escape. I'm sure there was a lot of female attorneys that were doing the same thing and they weren't admitting it, but I
Probably.
Read as much as I could. I loved it.
And what made you decide that, you know, hey, I can do this too?
I think I was always a writer. I have memories of when I was like 15, 16, writing a book. All right, at least I thought it was a great book. You know, like typing furiously, and then when my sisters would interrupt me, I'd get really upset. So I finished that. Was my, I guess, my first attempt at writing a book,
wow.
Although it will never see the light of day. It's under the bed. But I think I knew I always wanted to write. I just didn't think it was going to be possible to get published. And
uh-huh.
I had waited, you know, I went to school and then put everything on the back burner. And then it wasn't until after I graduated law school that I actually really tried to do it.
Wow. And then you had a family, too, so that always puts everything on the back burner a little bit, too.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Children can do that, right? They change everything.
Absolutely.
They change everything.
As
yes,
should,
they
but
do.
Yeah, that definitely makes things have to wait a little longer. Were you?
Yes, I wish I did it right around my 20s.
Right. Were you, was historical romance always a favorite of yours, or is there?
I can't even say that. I read and read still everything, all different genres. And I didn't just read romance when I was reading a lot. I just read a lot of fiction.
Uh-huh.
But my favorite was romance.
Yeah.
I love actually paranormal, even though I know I could never write it. I wish I could, but I loved paranormal, and I still love romantic suspense.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great, contemporary romantic suspense. Again, I wish I could write it, but... But I think historical has always been my favorite by far. And that's just when I tried to write my first book, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's where you found your voice.
Yes,
yeah.
Other than the episode when I was 15, yes. I definitely think I have a historical voice, and it comes out when I write. So that was always my favorite, I think.
It's funny you say that. I think when I was 15, I thought I was a songwriter. You know, I was really deep.
Well, isn't that when Taylor Swift started or whatever?
Yeah, right.
Really young? Yeah.
My stuff, I don't know, it just disappeared. I was like, wow, that was some really, really bad
writing. That's how. Well, my book will be under the bed forever. No one will ever see that book. But I can't throw it out, you know. But
right, yeah.
Right.
But everybody has that first book, too, so... It's
that's true.
You know,
yes,
but the first thing you for your first I don't even know a nice word, like the first time you just regurgitated what was all in your mind to get it out on paper, and it didn't have to.
I think you just don't know, like,
perfect. Yeah,
you just don't know not the rules, but what you're doing, and it's just a learning process. And looking back, it is kind of funny, but it's something like I think all authors have to go through it. I've heard. Some authors have 5 or 6 drafts of books that they have that will never see the light of day. So I think it's just something we all have to go through.
Yeah, I think I have like 3 or 4 half-written things that I don't know if I'll ever visit again. It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, I don't know.
Right, what was
you
I thinking?
Inspiration. Yeah, it's kind of like, where is this? Where was I going with this? I have no idea. But, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. So, when you decided that you were going to write and, you know, you sat down and the historical came out, were you kind of shocked that you were able to, you know, produce a well-rounded story? I mean, cause like I said, I've done short stories. So to produce a well-rounded story in a novel format just seems like an amazing feat for me so far.
You know, every time I still feel that every time I sit down to write a book, I feel, oh my gosh, it's overwhelming. How am I going to pull this one off? And am I ever going to finish it? So I think I think a lot of authors, and I know myself, we still have that. It's like a daunting task when you start with like page one and you think like you're going to finish the book. So I guess the first book did take me a really long time to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say like 3 years before I was published because I didn't really know what I was doing and I was learning as I was going along. I never thought I would actually finish it and it would be polished enough to sell it, but I think I still feel like that it's a big, just a daunting task in front of me every time I start a new book. But we get better at it. Yeah. It gets a little easier.
Yeah. Not so exasperating either. It's just...
And like, you know, life gets in the way, the kids, the husband,
right.
The family, things get in the way, the job, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, real life. Oh, yeah,
exactly. If I could just sit in Starbucks and write all day and not have to cook or clean or care for kids or whatever, it would be great.
Yeah, hey, I think a lot of writers feel that way. That's why they do those retreats and things like that, so.
Yes.
Have those retreats where you can do that for 5 days straight, you know, or something.
I've
like
never
that.
Done that. I would still love to do that.
I haven't either,
that,
but I need to.
Yes.
So do your coworkers and things know that you write romance? I mean, you were an attorney. So that's so
yes, they did
opposite.
Not. No, I'm not working full-time as an attorney now.
Okay.
I left the full-time job not to write, but after I had my kids.
Uh-huh.
But I still work part-time and no, they know now. I want to say the people that I work with now know, but when I was working full time before I was published, I don't think I told anybody. It was like my secret because I never thought it would actually get published, so
right.
I didn't see a need to say anything. And at night, it's like I had two lives because then at night I took a fiction writing class at a community college, so I made all new friends there that were writers.
Oh,
so
okay. Yeah,
they all
good.
Knew it was like two separate worlds, but I never said anything to my coworkers. Now I don't think, the men, honestly, I don't think they would understand, and I don't
nope.
know if the women would either. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's because it's kind of a contrasting type, you know, the logic versus creativity scale
right.
thing.
Exactly.
You've got the best of both worlds. So I can understand why you know, say it's like a different life. That's really kind of cool, though.
It's true, though, at that time. But now my friends, you know, my good friends know. And I don't get any snickers, at least not to my face. but they do know, and they're supportive.
Well, that's good. Did you, now that you have more time, apparently, you know, well, I don't know if you have more time or not. I don't know where I could even say that. If you're working part-time and you still have kids around, then you probably don't have time. And when do you squeeze in your time to write? Do you do it? Do you set yourself a schedule?
You know,
or?
I wish I did. I wish I was a schedule person. I've tried that, and it has not worked out. I don't know. You know, just things get in the way. So I do squeeze it in, and I have, instead of taking a year to write a book, I'm getting, you know, I got it down to 9 months, then 7.
Oh, there you go.
So it's gotten better because my kids are getting a little bit older. But I do write, I try to do early in the morning or late at night. And if I get a block of time when, you know, they're at soccer practice, I will actually take, you know, a pad and a pen the old-fashioned way and just start writing when I have time and I'm waiting for one of their sporting events to finish up. So I don't really have a schedule. All I know is like I have a word count that I have to reach every so often. So it's kind of a loose schedule.
Yeah. Well, you have to work in your time when you can. I understand that.
Yeah. Don't we all, right?
Yes. Like you said, between laundry and dinner and soccer practice and whatever else you've
right.
got going on. Yeah, it's a crazy
right.
life of a writer mom. Writer moms
have
it totally
schedule.
Different.
It's true. It's so true. So I don't have a schedule. I have like a word count in my mind that I know I have to reach.
Uh-huh. And your historicals, like you said, you found your voice in historicals at the beginning. Your historicals received great praise, and so how did that, I mean, that's got to be like the coolest thing in the world to, you know, you put your baby out there for the first time and you think, oh gosh, no, but they're going to publish it, oh my gosh, what are you? And then somebody says, oh wow, this is so good, I'm going to give you an award. I mean, wow, that's, you know,
it was
gotta
so
be
it is really nice. It is. And I, you know, I try not to, every author gets negative Amazon reviews too, so
oh, yeah.
I try not to focus on I try not to focus too much on those. I've learned. But it is really nice that somebody reads what you write and they like it. So it is really, it's inspiring, and I'm very, very grateful that for those reviews. So I'm just really grateful.
Did you read, let's just talk about what you read as you were growing, or not growing up, but as you were
as a kid,
trying
yeah.
to get away from law school and things like that. And you said you've always kind of liked historical. What would be some of your favorite periods of historical?
Wow. My favorite periods? I actually love I write the Regency period, which I always love the Jane Austen era, but I also love the medievals. But I know they're not, you know, as popular anymore, but I really did grow up reading a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say I did like the medievals, and I do like the Jane Austen, the Regency period.
Oh, yeah.
So those,
yeah.
That's
one of my favorites.
Yeah. I just love, like, the characters that were just all the social rules and
mm-hmm.
the etiquette. I just really like it.
It makes
so that's
for
what I write in.
Yeah, it makes for really interesting social commentary. I mean, that time period was so, I don't know. You're like
it's
you said,
so rich and interesting.
Yeah, it was so interesting. There were so many layers to it all, you know. And you're saying that even in the early 1900s, you know, I having watched some of Downton Abbey, I mean, still the layers
yeah,
and the rules, and even though it was a little less, you know,
women seem to have a little bit more freedom, but not that much.
Little.
But
yeah. But
yeah.
Still property and, you know, just craziness.
And the clothing. Yeah. I love the clothing and
gosh,
the carriages
yeah.
and the homes and the houses. So
yeah.
all that stuff.
And the bonnets. Gotta love the bonnets. The bonnets
yes.
are awesome. So, yeah, that's a great point. I have found not recently, but like in the last year and a half or so, some medieval stuff that wasn't necessarily like medieval castle, but like medieval Viking stuff. That was a little dirty, you know, dirtier as far as they weren't in beautiful castles with all this great stuff. It was very authentically grimy, but I love it. And I was like, wow. So it actually got me watching that Viking show on.
I want to watch that. Yes, I have not watched that yet. Everyone keeps telling me, you have to watch that. I do love the medievals or that time period too. I don't know if it's just making for like a really great hero, a strong warrior is always sexy, I guess.
Yeah.
I do like that period. So maybe it will have a comeback. And I hope it does.
Yeah, I think it will. I do too, because it's so dark and, you know, they try it like that.
And gritty, yeah.
It's so authentic. These people live in mud and, you know, it's just, it's so dirty.
Right, right.
But, you know,
like I wouldn't
want to
live in that time period, honestly, but I would love to read about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't want to live there. No, I don't.
No,
want to
I wouldn't
there.
Want to live there. No, the hygiene would be tough. But yeah,
yeah,
that is a show I do want to watch. So you enjoy that show?
Absolutely, I recommend it, especially to
okay.
people who like historicals, because for sure, I'm not a big fantasy person. So when you jump over, you take that kind of dark, and then you add in the fantasy, you've got, you know, the whole Game of Thrones thing, and that's just not my bag. It's just kind of like, no, let's go back over here to real things, because I can picture
right,
them
right.
actually.
Yeah, I like
happen.
It, but I'm not like a huge. It doesn't right. I won't watch like 8 episodes in a row or anything like
yeah.
that. I like Outlander.
Oh well, yeah, but that's got so
that's,
much
that's
pure historical
great.
That it's amazing.
Love
and
it. Loved all the books.
Dirty, grimy. It you know very authentic. You can tell the difference between the time periods by the way that things are. You know.
Yes.
They're sweaty, dirty here, and here they're very starched and proper, and you know it's just like, oh wow, okay. So yeah,
right,
I like
exactly.
Those
and the hero and the men are sexy and yeah.
Oh yeah, and really rotten.
Yeah.
Some of them. Oh
yeah, I know. Exactly.
Horrible, rotten. So yeah, really good stuff. But you did you've already written some contemporary as well. So what was that like to jump across and not have to do all the research?
Oh, contemporary? No, I have not
yeah.
written contemporary. So far,
oh, no,
it's only...
Your spy
no,
one
that was
contemporary. Okay. They were,
which ones? I'm sorry?
The spy and the
oh,
Barrister
no, they
one.
Weren't contemporary.
Okay.
That maybe by the covers you think they are,
yeah.
but no. They were Regency period spy
oh, okay.
novels.
Okay.
And they were a blast to research. Because I'm also a big James Bond fan.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I watch all the, you know... Sean Connery is one of my favorites, but I always wanted to write a Regency period with the spies in them.
Uh-huh.
So that was just so much fun to research and so much fun to write. So those two are Regency period, but they are spy novels, but set during the Regency period.
Okay, so these have a little more action and suspense than
more mystery. Like, they each have more of a mystery to that.
Ooh,
but still
that
plenty of
awesome.
Romance. Lots of romance.
Oh, of course. Of course, because we love our happily ever afters.
Yes, we do.
Because life sure is an happily ever after.
The older I get, the more I really love the happily ever afters. I don't even like to see a movie now that ends depressing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what happened. That people enjoy them. They get great reviews, and I don't like them. So if it doesn't end happy, I'm not good with it.
Well, that's how I felt about reading Gone Girl. You know, it was like I really got into the story. I was wrapped. I was flipping pages. I couldn't put it down. You know, and then I was like, what?
There's so much like there's so many movies out there like that too. They don't end well.
I know.
And they get Oscars, they do really well, but they're just not for me.
No, me neither. I think
life
is
too short to be upset or whatever.
Well, and life is too disappointing, you know.
As it is, right.
On.
If you watch
exactly.
the news,
we need
the
our...
news is horrible.
Oh gosh, yes. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, we need our escape. I think that you know, if you ask females in general why they like romance, I think the first thing they're going to tell you is the escape. You know,
absolutely. Yeah.
The daily grind just isn't good for your soul, and sometimes you just got to turn it off. And you know, you're going to hit a happily ever after out of a romance novel. So what? I mean, it's like a guaranteed, you know, high at the end. So why not?
Yeah, it is. It is because you're right. Life is short and depressing, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's almost a form of therapy to read a romance with a happy ending. It is. It's a form of therapy. A lot of people feel that way.
I agree. I have an idea that I've tossed around with a couple of authors on previous shows about that they need to do a study in romance readers about endorphins and stuff, because you get happy, you get the cry, you get the good cry out, you get the happy, and there's a rush of endorphins, and that I think romance readers are the happiest people in the world because you get this physiological reaction to reading. And
oh, I love that.
Why.
I hope that, yeah. I think that's true to an extent. I do, yeah.
I think somebody needs to fund that. I think somebody really needs to do that kind of experiment, you know.
A kind of a study.
Yeah.
And it's a lot better than eating chocolate, right?
Oh, right.
Less calories.
Exactly.
It's a lot better than eating chocolate. Read a romance novel.
That's right. And then you get more people in the world who, you know, have not sympathy, or can, you know, there's a lot more understanding because they endorphins are high and they're feeling good. So they're being nice to people. And then you've got more compassion towards other people. And I think that we should promote romance reading to everyone so that they'll quit, you know, being such jerks to each other. I don't know.
I think it's true. I heard somewhere that like a lot of the readers are, you know, happily married women. So it's not just like, you know, depressants that are reading these novels. So
right. No. Yeah.
So people that have their husbands or what their spouse and they're happy, they're still reading them. So there's definitely a need for it.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's the things like having turned on the TV and constantly bombarded with the things that we're bombarded with. I mean, the last week has just been horrible for anybody in this country or out.
Awful.
So yeah, I've wanted to pick up my book often. You know, it makes me want to go get a book and just turn it off and walk away.
And know that there's going to be happily ever after. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I think that, I think romance authors do a service to the world. That's what I think. So there,
I agree. I agree.
So what would you say some of your big influencers were as far as, maybe not your writing style, but like storylines, or maybe that you like the Regency period, like you do. You had mentioned Jane Austen.
Oh my gosh, there were so many. There were just so many that I have read and loved and have helped me, whether it's studying craft or just inspiring me to write myself. I started out, of course, with Kathleen Woodwith, who I loved her novels. And also, wow, there's so many. I love Lorraine Heath.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Henley was a big inspiration to me. These historical authors, Anne Stewart, Stella Cameron, Heather Graham, all the big names that I read, I remember growing up, and I just loved those books. And I thought, wow, I wish I could write that good. I don't know if I can still write that good, but I wish I could write that good. And the stories were just so compelling. And I remember, I still to this day remember the characters that I had read from those books. So I think they inspired me.
Stuck with you.
Yes. Yes.
What
definitely.
Would you?
I wish I kept some of those books. I had some of them, and then other ones I had to get rid of when I moved.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I go back and I reread them.
Yeah. Yeah, the ones that really stick with you, it's kind of hard. You kind of want to. They're like old friends you want to go talk to every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. They're like old friends. That's a good way to put it.
What do you think is the most, this is kind of a deep question, but since you're a historical writer, maybe you have some thoughts on this. What do you think is the most underrepresented time period in historical literature, like historical fiction in general?
Because
we get a lot of World War II, we get a lot of Regency, we get a lot of we've got a lot of Scottish, Highlander stuff lately.
Right, we do.
Thanks, Jamie.
I want to say Western.
You think
Western used to be big. Historical Western. Contemporary Western, I think, sells well. But
right.
There hasn't been that many historical Westerns lately.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say that. And also the medievals, which I wish they would come back. So those,
yeah, I do
those two? Yeah, those two, I have to say, because I haven't seen a historical Western in a long time.
Have you read...
And I really enjoyed those.
Have you read, like, Philippa Gregory's and those?
I read the first... Yes. The first book.
Is it Cousin Ward?
I haven't read...
Okay.
Yes, I haven't read the... What, did she write a Western? No.
Oh, no. Her, the ones that are England, the different...
Yes, with the different monarchs.
The tutors, yeah.
Yes.
And the different, yeah. Yeah.
So you think that time period? Oh, maybe that time period too.
I feel like she's the.
You're right.
Know.
You're
I,
right. That time period.
There hasn't been a lot other than her. It's more like it's not medieval. It's not. It's Renaissance, but it's more. There's several different dynasties over there that, haven't had much written about, and every now and then she comes up with one of them, and it's like, wow, I didn't know anything about this person in history.
And
it's
you
really
can
cool.
really learn. I have learned, people laugh, but I've learned a lot of history from reading historical romance.
Oh, me too.
I've learned.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm
like,
oh. Look it up. Yeah.
It makes me want to look it up, whereas when I was in high school or college, I thought it was all boring. They didn't explain it well. It was not like my favorite subject at all. History was not my favorite subject. And then when I started reading these romances, I'm like, wow, this is so interesting. And I did go back and look up some of the time period information. So you're right. I don't think there has been much on that time period either.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I really do enjoy reading that time period. I'm the same way though. Anytime, it doesn't matter what it is. If a character is compelling enough, it makes me start considering, and I feel like I'm actually living, I've gone into another place into that time period. I do. I am like, oh, I got to go look this up because this is just really cool.
It's really so fascinating, like this, right? Right.
And it's not so much a fact checking thing as it, which is it's hard for me not to be a fact checker because having been a librarian, it's kind of my nature.
Yeah. Right. So you're probably excellent at research.
I would love to research, but I don't know. I don't know that I would love to research for other people. Let's put it that way. I don't think I could ever. Like write in a historical voice. I just don't think I could. Like you're saying about paranormal, I don't think I could.
I think everybody has their own. Yes,
yeah.
You could read it, but you won't. You may not be able to write it. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and I really love people. I mean, I admire people who write fantasy and science fiction because that's like some. They just created this whole other place.
That's
and they've
gotta
got
be
their
tough.
Own rules they got to follow, and it blows my mind how they even go there.
It's got to be really tough because I would forget everything. So if
exactly.
I set a rule in fantasy, or I'd have to constantly go back and refer to it.
Exactly, they would be. It would be really confusing.
Very talented to be able to do that, yeah.
The people who write very long series, too, it's kind of like, you know, they've got to have their own.
Yeah, they're like 500 pages. right.
Yeah. They've got to have their own chart or Bible or, you know, whatever rule book for themselves to know who's with who and who has whose baby. And it's kind of like a soap opera.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they have their series Bible and either it's online or it's handwritten or both. I'm sure they refer to it all the time.
Yeah, that's neat. I think it's cool. That kind
of
organization.
One of my favorites.
Awesome.
I love J.R. Ward's Black Dagger Brotherhood series. That's a paranormal series. Love that. And so she created her own world.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder how she kept all those characters straight, but she did.
Oh, yeah.
Either that or she had great fact checkers, like people checking for her.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure she has a good assistant. But, yeah, she's done really well with that. She's one that in fact, I think Dark Lover was probably my gateway into adult paranormal. You know, I was a young adult librarian, so I read Twilight, and then somebody said, "Oh, you like Twilight? Read this." And I was like, "Whoa, okay." Went that way.
Oh, it was so good. I thought it was so much better than Twilight, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I really liked it. Yeah, I really liked it. Enjoyed it.
The adult aspects were much better.
No
sexual. Yeah. Sexual tension, take it a step further. It's great. Let's go there. Okay.
Yeah, other than high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a little bit more. Not too much, but a little more than that.
Well, yeah. You know, and that's kind of what I would tell people at the library, too, that I had lots of moms who read Twilight because their daughters read it. So they read it, too. You know, they read the whole series. They're like, I really like this, but, you know, what's the next step? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, if you want to go adult. When you don't mind adult scenes, then go here. You know, I'd send them to J.R. Ward or Sherilyn Kenyon or, you know, down those roads.
Oh, yeah, great. They're both great.
But, yeah, and then I was like, and, you know, this uses, and I was like, I tell them the difference. I'm like, you know, J.R. Ward uses some what I call hardcore words, and Sherilyn Kenyon uses the pretty words.
Yeah. But it's true. It's a good way to look at it.
But that's the way.
So if they don't like cursing or anything,
right,
then avoid this other kind of
words. Exactly.
If they don't care, then
Then J.R. Ward is perfect. So
exactly.
Yeah,
but her characters are so real because, like, real men probably would talk like that. Like, I guess vampires would. I don't know.
Probably all men talk like that. But
do
you have friends that read it too? Do you talk about it together?
You know, and my closest friends, I don't think they read romance that are not writers. Like my friends that are not writers.
Yeah.
I have really good writer friends, of course, and they all are romance readers or writers or both. But my friends through my children's school that I've met, that are good friends, I don't think they read romance, or if they do, they're not telling me.
Oh, okay.
Let's put it that way.
Well,
they're
had
in book
a group
clubs
of girls.
And,
yeah. We had a group of girls. We passed the books around. So, you know, I've read the first one, hand it to the next person, get the second one, we hand it around. And so we would be, you know, we always talk to each other and they'd be like, true, true, you know, and we're talking like the brotherhood all the time to each other.
Oh, so they love it. They like
stupid.
It.
Yes.
I have recommended it. Yeah, I recommended it, but I don't think my immediate friends have read it. But
no, we always find
other than my
casting.
Writer friends.
Trying to cast for the, you know, for like, it should be a series, and we're trying to put a cast together of the different people.
Oh.
So I think that's when
so
you know
diehard.
Your books are like,
yeah,
when you know your books have jumped over the edge is when people are like trying to pair them up and go ahead and get your show casted for you.
That's the ultimate flattery.
Yeah, I think so. We can all hope for such things, correct?
Exactly. Yes, that would be really nice.
So we have about 25 minutes left. I'm going to put the number out if anyone wants to call in. It is 347-633-9609. And you can call in and ask Tina a question or just chat or anything you would like. Just keep it clean,
yes,
folks.
Please call.
Keep it clean. So when you wrote your first steamy scene in your book, in your first book, not the first book that's under your bed, but the first book you published.
Published, yeah.
Yeah. Are you a person who writes it, goes back and reads it, or writes it and reads it as you're going? You know, how do you approach those scenes? A lot of people say that, you know, they write it real fast and they're flushed and they got to get through it.
The first love scene, you mean?
Yeah, the first love scene in your book.
I think they take the most time to write. People think it's really easy to write, you know, a sex scene, and they think it's really easy if they've never actually done it. But it takes the most time for me because it's not just a physical act, but they have to change emotionally and they have to connect emotionally. And it's like a pivotal point in the book where they're going to both change because of the experience they're having. So I would say I write it, and that scene I probably write and rewrite like a good 6-7 times and go back and look at it and make sure it's okay, and that I have them change emotionally and connect. So they take the most time.
Yeah.
And they really do. I don't rush through them at all. I don't hate writing the love scenes, but I also know going into it is going to take me a long time. So my first attempt is just a rough draft, and then I have to go back and make sure I have all the emotional connections between the characters in there.
Okay. That makes sense. What was it like for the first time that you let someone else read that part of your story?
Oh, my gosh. I remember. Now it doesn't bother me as much, but I don't even think my husband read, like, the whole book until it was actually published. I didn't want anyone to read that. It was so – I remember when it was published, and my most crazy moment was when my father-in-law told me he read the book, and I said, no, you're not supposed to read these. These are for women. This is not for you. So the first time it was very hard for me to let that baby, you know – out there and other people reading it, and I was kept thinking, what are they going to think? They're going to think, you know, this is what happens in my house daily, and like, it's crazy. So now I'm much better with it. Now they know I write romance, and if they don't like it, because, you know, I write romance with love scenes in it, and they're important, they're pivotal to the book. So now I'm much more comfortable with it. But in the beginning, I was not.
I can't even imagine your father-in-law reading.
I know. I said, this is not for you to read. This is for women. But I couldn't stop it. I didn't know. So, and he's a big reader, so it happened. Now I don't even worry about it.
Did he give his opinion? Did he say he liked it?
I think he's a man of few words to begin with, whereas my mother-in-law is the one that talks more. So I don't even remember. I think he just said it was good, and that was it.
Okay.
And we never talked about it after that. That was it.
That's good.
That was enough for me.
Change the subject. Move on.
I definitely didn't share it at all with anyone. Now I have, you know, critique partners, and it doesn't bother me at all. But we're talking, seven books in. So
right, correct. Yeah, you get kind of used to it. But, the first one's got to be pretty hard to follow.
Yeah, the first one was kind of hard.
I watched my mom read my story. You know, it's just a short story, but I sat there and watched her read it on the Kindle, and she's like,
it's hard.
Nodding her head every now and then, and I'm just sitting here going, what part is she at? You know, nodding her head.
And what is she thinking? Like, what is she thinking?
Yeah, exactly. She's just like, whoa.
But I think most people have read romance novels or something with love scenes in it that we're thinking it's the first time they've ever seen it, and it's not.
Right. Not
like
the first time she knew I wrote it, so it was kind of a little weird, but it was good. She was like, oh, that was good. Yeah, okay.
Oh, good.
On. Like, okay. All right.
Good. At least she didn't say, what are you doing? Don't ever write again. Or,
yeah,
you
no
need
kidding.
To stop.
No
she never
kidding.
Said that.
So you talk about having a critique partner. Are you part of a bigger group? Do you go to RWA or anything like that?
Oh, I love RWA, yes. I've always had a critique partner. I've had different critique partners over the years. I think it really does help, not just with the plotting or the actual writing, but just to get both of us motivated. If it's a good critique partner, it's like dating. You need to find somebody that's really good, that's a good match for you. And it doesn't even mean to be, you know, my critique partner does not write historical romance. Like, as long as they're writers, they're going to understand, you know, the flaws in a manuscript or what needs to be fixed. And it also motivates me to write more, because I know if I have to meet her then, or if I have to email her pages, I better have them done. So
yeah, right?
I enjoy it, yes. And I do go to the conferences. I'm very active in New Jersey Romance Writers. I'm on the conference committee this year. And I've always been a member of Romance Writers of America. And I go to the conferences.
You go to the nationals?
Yeah, I'll be in San Diego this year in July, yes.
That's
I really
fun.
Look forward to that every year.
Yeah, and San Diego is sure pretty in the summer, so you should enjoy it.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I hear the weather is beautiful. I was there many, many years ago, probably in high school, but I remember the weather was just so nice.
Yeah, I went in the summer. Oh, gosh, it was like 2003 or 2004, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Just perfect weather all the time.
Yes. Yes, the ladies will be just having fun there. So good luck. Have fun.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And they have a big historical thing, too. So, and then they usually have, do you ever go to RT? Because they have their own historical kind of track.
I have. I've gone 1 year. I went when it was in Dallas.
Okay.
I really liked it. Yeah, I liked it. It's hard for me. I wish I could go every year. It's the problem for me is getting the babysitter. Like, if I go in RWA and then RT, that's like 2 weeks of trying to get someone to help with the kids, and usually it's my mother-in-law, but that's asking a lot for her to travel and then watch them for 2 so that's where I'm at. So eventually I'll be able to go all the time.
Oh, you got to raise these kids.
I know, somebody has to, right?
They're having a, you know, RT is in Atlanta next year, and you know, I can't even imagine the dresses that are going to be at the balls and things.
Oh, it'll
it's
be beautiful,
be
like Scarlett O'Hara's,
trip.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's going to be
gorgeous.
Neat. So I would just want to be there just to see the dresses. So, but that's just neat. That's like my favorite thing
year,
about historical. No, I've never been. I was on my way to go to Dallas, and I had a babysitter issue fall through and couldn't go. So
same,
I haven't been.
Thing.
But,
so
want to go.
It's difficult to leave them for that long, too. A whole week is a long time.
Yes, yes. Yeah, if it could just be a weekend, but, you know. Then I want to be there for the whole thing. So,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
and
anyway,
it gets expensive too. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine that New York last summer was really expensive for people. Going to RWA. Yeah. And well, San Diego's not much cheaper. So.
We'll see.
But it's beautiful. You're gonna love it.
The one time that I feel like I can really get away and just focus on the writing and you know, with my friends, it's nice.
Yeah. So when you decided you were going to go out and try to get your manuscript published the first time, did you go the agent track or did you just start submitting and seeing what happened?
I went the agent track. I went to the New Jersey Romance Writers Conference, so I had signed up to pitch to an agent, and that's where I found my agent.
Oh, awesome.
So she was the first agent I ever had, and so she was very good. So she ended up selling it to Kensington.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold that first book to them, and I've always had an agent ever since then. So I'm on my second agent. I have I love my agent. It's Stephanie Evans of Fine Print Literary Agency. I really, really like her a lot. So I did go the agent route, but things have changed so much now because when I first started, the self-publishing craze wasn't around.
Right, right.
And so now you can do both.
Yes.
It's just so different now.
Yeah,
which I've never
it
self-published,
is.
But I am thinking about doing that and continuing with my publisher, because it seems to be, you know, the market just boomed for it.
Well, and it's so easy to do that you don't have to, like, have
have to wait for years. Sometimes you have to wait years to hear.
Right.
It could take
and
an entire
really
year
to
hear back.
You don't have to send it to an actual printer. They do the print on demand now and things like that. You don't have to have those skills or go out and pay a fortune for it. You know, they can do it as they sell. And
the world, of publishing has changed like overnight, I feel like, and it's changing every day. Like, I wonder where we'll be in 3 years or 5 years. Like, I wonder if they'll just have those book espresso machines that they're talking about. Maybe that'll be the future.
Maybe. I would love a book vending machine. That would be great.
I know. I think that would be great.
I've actually seen those at I think it was, I want to say it was Denver Airport or something. It was a vending machine.
I've never seen one. I've never seen one, but they're saying they're getting them. More and more stores are getting them.
Yeah. It was, they weren't, you know, they weren't like the big, they have to be the small trade paperbacks or they won't fit in there and come out the thing. But yeah, I think it was Denver. I can't remember. That's the last airport I was in, so might be. But yeah, they need to do that because, yeah, if you could grab a book anywhere, I mean, this should be available everywhere.
And I think it saves paper that way too. So they don't have to print a ton of books and then nobody buys them and they send them back or whatever. I think it's definitely like the way of the future.
I agree.
Saving paper. Yeah.
Save paper. And, you know, the ebook thing, I mean, you can make your book available to your ebook for a while and then if sales, I like how some of the publishers are doing that. I think Hinkle's one of them that does that, that puts out the ebooks. And then if they hit a certain number of sales, then they'll print run.
Print run. And then you can always get it on demand. Not on demand. What is it? You can always get a print copy as well through CreateSpace or whatever
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I think that's a great idea. I mean, the old days of them printing hundreds of thousands of copies of a book and then they don't sell. And
I think they're over.
I think they've figured out a better way. And I think it's a pretty neat thing. So, it's changed a lot. Yeah. Who knows what will happen in the next 10 years?
I don't know. I'm curious to find out. Like, even in 5 years, it'll probably be so different. Who knows?
Right. But I think the hybrid author is a big deal now. You know, you have some things published with your traditional publishers. You build a name for yourself, build a following, an online platform, and then you self-publish, and you can make a little more off of that, and we'll have a little more control. And I think it's a great thing.
I agree. I need to try it. I need to try it. I think that is the way. I think people used to look down on self-publishing, but not anymore. Now it's totally changed.
I would say about half of the authors I read are indie authors. So it's just, they come onto the scene and, you know, I pick them up. I like them. I read the rest of them. So it's just the way it is.
Right. A lot of people, it doesn't matter anymore, whichever way.
Yeah. So you sent me the cover and the blurb of your latest, and I want to make sure everybody gets a little bit of that. Can you just tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, sure. The book comes out on Monday, June 20th.
Awesome.
It's called An Artful Seduction. I really enjoyed writing this book. It's kind of an enemies to lovers story with a twist. It's about it's a series with three daughters, their father was a infamous art forger at the time.
Oh.
And he had abandoned them instead of getting arrested for his crime. So it's each book is about each of the sister stories. So in the first book, we have Eliza, and she basically meets the hero, who is an earl, but he's also an art critic who was burned by her father. So he's out for justice. He wants to find her father, and that's their story. So, of course, it's an enemies to lovers story, but it's very different, and I really enjoyed doing a lot of the research about art forgery and art at the time of the Regency period. It was fun.
That sounds like some good research. I would like that, yeah.
And it's a hot romance,
Monday.
Too. So that's,
yes,
it comes out Monday. Awesome. It has a beautiful cover and a beautiful cover quote from Madeline Hunter, who's one of my favorite all-time historical authors as well. So I was very happy to get that.
Oh, that's nice. Ooh, that's got to be a good, like, zing feeling.
It is. It's a wonderful feeling. See, like, the book. So
great. And then what do you have planned after that? You've got, I know you noticed you had two coming soon. So there's two more in that series.
There's two more in that series. So the next one comes out in November 2016. And then the third book is going to come out in 2017. And I'm writing the third book now. So that's what I'm working on now.
Awesome. Do you have plans for other series or other, I don't know, projects?
Oh, always. Always in the back of my mind, yes. Yes, as soon as I finish this third book, which is very close to being done, then I'm going to start working on a different series. So,
that's exciting.
Yeah. I have lots of ideas, but I have nothing written down yet.
What would you say is like the one time period that you would not ever write about?
Oh my, that's a good question. You mean genre or time period in historical?
You could do genre. You said you wouldn't write paranormal because it's too difficult to.
Right,
keep it up,
I would say paranormal, because I love to read them. Like I said, I love the J.R. Ward books, but I don't think I have that kind of voice to write a contemporary paranormal. I guess I could write a historical paranormal, but that's not my favorite type of read, so I would say paranormal.
Paranormal.
Even though I love to read them, I enjoy them. I just don't think I have that paranormal voice.
I feel the same way. Yeah, that's just not, I think it takes a special voice. I think everybody finds
to be able to do that and pull it off. To be able to pull it off.
Yeah. And your books are sold at all the major outlets, Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Yes. Yes, you can get the Kindle or the Nook or the iBooks, any of those.
Okay. And all your social media links are at your website, which is www.tinagabrielle.com. That's two L's. And
that's right. Yeah, they're all there.
And let's see, because I know you have a Facebook and a Twitter account.
I have an Instagram account.
Okay, there you go. So I missed that one. Okay, so they can find you online and connect with you there, and you have an author page where they can follow your latest and watch for the upcoming Monday release. It's very exciting. I'll also put it on the librarian's page there so that everybody has the links when it comes out on Monday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
That would be awesome. I'm excited for you.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited too. It's always great to have a new book come out. It's exciting. It's a little bit scary, but it's also a lot of excitement. So.
Well, especially if it's a new series too. So it's like almost being, this fresh new thing. Yay.
Yeah.
So,
you're releasing your baby into the world and you hope people like it.
Yeah. Well, good luck. And
thank you.
I'm excited. And I know that we have a historical following out there too. So you guys check it out on our website and pick yours up for Monday. I guess you can still probably pre-order till Monday. So.
Yes, absolutely you can, yes. And I'm running I'll be running a giveaway for that first week of the new release. So check the website for that. I'll definitely be doing a giveaway.
And you have a newsletter on your website where people can do.
I do.
You do a lot of fun stuff on there too.
I do. I always have a contest. Like every month I give away one of my books and four books that I love from other authors. So usually five books every month I'll give away.
How fun. Well, sign up for the newsletter. Go to Tina's website and sign up for the newsletter and, you can get fun free books. And the
free
latest
books
and greatest
are always good. Yeah,
oh, gosh,
and it doesn't cost anything. Free books are good.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for being on the show tonight. I'm so glad we could get you on, and best of luck in your release day.
Thank you so much for having me.
Enjoy RWA this summer and your trip across country, because that is definitely all the way on the other side of the country for you. So,
yeah,
we'll get to read a book on the way.
That's right. Absolutely, a couple books. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on tonight, and
thank
wish you well, and have you back on again in the future.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
All right. And guys, okay. Thanks for listening in out there. I appreciate you listening tonight. You can find me on Facebook as the Librarian on Authors on the Air, Twitter as HOT_librarian_. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on the Air website, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Authors on the Air Global Radio Network can be found online at www.authorsontheair.com. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and just about anywhere else you can think of in the social media universe. Thanks, guys, for listening in tonight, and I will see you back here next Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Librarian, and have sweet dreams.